I left my notes in my office. So I'm going to preach without my notes.
Amen.
But don't think for a minute that it will make the sermon shorter. I was looking for my notes on the front pew, and I thought, oh my gosh, I left them in my office. And I thought, sure enough, if I leave, they'll end the song, and I'll just not be here, and that will be awkward. So have no fear, but do turn to Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 40. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 40. We're going to be looking at verses 40 through 42. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 40 through 42. This morning, I want to conclude this kind of series out of Matthew chapter 10. And in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is commissioning his disciples to go out and do the work that he was doing. And so there, we learn a lot of great spiritual truths from this chapter. So let me remind you of the truths that we have been considering. One, verses 1 through 4, Jesus gave his disciples authority over demons and to heal people. They couldn't do it on their own, but Jesus gave them his authority. And because Jesus is God and God has authority over health problems and over demons, Jesus was able to convey, to give authority to his 12 disciples to go out and do the same things that Jesus was doing. With such a great opportunity came a lot of responsibility. And in the reason why Jesus sent them out was to multiply the ministry, to go more places and tell other people about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God had come, how Messiah had come, and to give evidence for the Messiah's coming by healing and casting out demons. And then in verses 5 through 15, Jesus gave specific instructions to the disciples on how they were to behave while they ministered and traveled. And so he gave them very specific instructions that are still important today. He also warned them about potential persecution, that they may actually be called before governors and kings to give an account for their ministries. And so it sounded really good to go and do miracles for Jesus, but Jesus let them know that not everybody is going to like it. Not everybody's going to agree with it, and you may be persecuted, and you may have to give witness to me. But then in verse 26 through 33, Jesus taught the disciples not to fear. Even though they faced persecution, even though they faced uncomfortable situations, they might have to give a speech. You know, the number one fear of people is what? It's public speaking, right? And Jesus let them know that they had no reason to fear as his disciples. No matter what happened to them, God would take care of them. And even if they were put in a difficult situation to speak, that God would give them the words. And then last week, in verses 34 through 39, Jesus taught his disciples that being his disciple may cause serious conflict in their relationships. Remember that? And even with mother and father. And Jesus said in these hard truths that a disciple must put Jesus first above those in his own household. And so sometimes being a Christian might cause there to be problems in your home, but you must put Jesus first in your life. Now, in this last part, verses 40 through 42, Jesus is going to tell the disciples that those who aid them, those who provide help and hospitality, those who feed them and house them and encourage them, that they will be rewarded. And so even though they were going to go out and be dependent on other people during their time of ministry, Jesus tells the disciples, God's got your bill. God's going to take care of those who care for you. That there would be people that would offer them support and hospitality, and that God would bless them, that He would give them rewards. And so today we're going to talk about supporting the mission of Jesus. Now, I hesitated to put supporting the work of Jesus in the bulletin because some of you would say, we need to bow out after Sunday school because it's going to be on giving today, all right? So I hated to use the word support. In fact, I used a thesaurus online. That's not an ancient dinosaur. It's a literary tool. But I used a thesaurus to try to find words for support that would be appropriate and not tip anyone off. And I came up with support. So we went with support. But this is not a stewardship sermon. I'm not asking for pledges or contributions at all, unless that's what the Holy Spirit speaks to you about. I want to encourage you to consider this morning, are you, first of all, you're a disciple. All who are Christians are disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, He had 12 particular special disciples when He was here on earth. But He made it clear in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, that those who followed Him would be disciples, and their job was to what? Make more disciples, right? And that is the mission of our church. Our church is a gathering of disciples under Jesus' authority. With Jesus' help, we are a group of disciples who are engaged in making more disciples. And the idea is that those disciples would make disciples, and those disciples would make disciples, and that God's kingdom would continue to grow as we make disciples. Guess what? You are here today because someone made a disciple. Somebody told you the good news of Jesus Christ. Somebody was obeying the Great Commission. They were going and they were making disciples, and you are one of their disciples. I mean, they helped not a disciple themselves, but a disciple of Jesus. That makes a difference, right? No one should be making disciples of themselves. They should be making disciples of Jesus because He's the one. So Jesus made it clear that believers are disciples and that the mission of the church and individual believers is to make disciples. Like I told you last week, we are in the disciple-making business. If someone asks you, what is your church about? What does your church do? What do you do at your church? I hope you don't say, breakfast. I'll be embarrassed if I hear that. I hope that what you will say is, we are a miniature disciple-making factory. We punch out disciples at Walnut Creek Baptist Church. We are, don't say any of that. Although if you say that, they may give you a chance to tell more, or they may withdraw their question. I don't know. But if anyone ever asks, what is the purpose of your church, tell them it's to make disciples of Jesus. Our purpose is to make disciples of Jesus. Everything else that we do as a church is inconsequential. Some of those things are told to us to do by Scripture. We are to show Christian love. We are to educate. We are to serve. We are to do those things. They're not unimportant, but the most important thing we do as a church is we make disciples. At the end of the day, we need to be making disciples. All the things that we do should be supporting the idea of making disciples. We are to be making disciples. So you are a disciple, and you are to be making disciples. You are to be supporting the cause of making disciples. And when we support the cause of making disciples, something special happens. I'll make you wait until we pray and read the Scripture. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to look deep within ourselves and to look at our motives and our attitudes. Lord, help us to see if we are hospitable toward other disciples. Help us to see areas that we can improve in offering help and aid to those who are serving you. Help us to truly understand the depth of what Jesus reveals in this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been talking about the passages. Let's just read the passage. What do you say? Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 40. Jesus is continuing this series on getting his disciples commissioned. He says, "Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's," say it, "reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Now, as I'm talking about a cup of cold water, my mouth is dry, and I'm going to go get at least a bottle of water full of cold water. But the word that I want to mention here, to share with you this morning, is the word reward. Reward. Now, in conservative evangelical circles, and we're part of that, in conservative evangelical circles, we have become leery of talking about rewards. We become leery of talking about blessings. Now, why is that? Well, it's because some others who claim to be Christians teach that God always wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. It's called the prosperity gospel. And that is, if you are right with God, God wants you to be rich. He wants you to be blessed. And if you'll give a certain amount of money, you will be blessed. If you have enough faith, you'll always be healthy. And churches, evangelical Christian churches, reject that idea. And there's been a lot of talk in the news, even in mainstream news, about those who teach that prosperity theology. And essentially, they, in my opinion, I'm going on a limb here, but I think it's safe, conservative Christians believe that is a false teaching, that it's not scriptural. And we've seen that some of those who advocate this prosperity theology, that many of them have gotten rich, not so much on the blessings of God, but on the backs of followers, people. There have been many who have been called out for their expensive lifestyles, their own wealth at the expense of well-meaning, sometimes poor Christians. We reject prosperity theology. We reject the tele-evangelist approach to the Christian life. But I want to say to you this morning that we need to make sure that we don't go too far. Because the truth is, living for Jesus is the best way to live. There's a few of you that believe that. I don't know what the rest of you are doing. But so I'll say it again so some of you can get in on it. Living for Jesus is the best way to live. Period. Following Jesus is the best way to live. My life has been blessed as a Christian because I know Jesus and I love Jesus and I'm seeking to be a disciple of Jesus. My life has been blessed. I have avoided some of the consequences of sins that I just know that I would have been involved in if I hadn't met Jesus when I did. Amen? Walking with Jesus every day, praying, following Scripture, walking with Jesus and living for Jesus is the only and the best way to live. And so Christians are blessed. You're blessed. And while we reject that false teaching, we mustn't overlook the fact that God does bless faithful people. God does show favor to faithful people. God does take care of His people. God rewards, God blesses His people. The Bible talks about there are going to be rewards in heaven. And I'll tell you, I'm so thankful I met Jesus when I did. And my life is not perfect, and that's mainly my fault. Okay, it's all my fault. You know, I want to leave a little bit of error for somebody else, but my life is blessed because of Jesus. And I wouldn't want to live any other way. And I'm so glad that I was saved when I was. So all that being said, I want to remind you that Jesus said that those who offered help and hospitality to the disciples would be rewarded. And the Bible even talks about that at the judgment seat of Christ, Christians will receive rewards for their works, not their salvation works, but their works of service as believers. Now, I'm not sure that we're going to care that much about rewards in heaven. I really think we're just going to be glad to be there. You know, I don't think we're going to be like comparing purses or, you know, blessing accounts in heaven. I don't know if those things exist, but I really get the idea from Scripture and just thinking that just being with Jesus is going to be all that we need. Okay? But the Bible does speak of rewards. And it's possible that in heaven, people may be rewarded with opportunity or responsibilities in heaven. I don't know. But the Bible does speak of rewards, of blessings. And in this passage, where Jesus has just told them how hard life may be for a disciple, He says, listen, those who help you, God will bless. Those who help you in the journey, God will reward. And so I want to encourage you this morning that as you serve Jesus, there those who come alongside you, God will bless them. Now, this isn't just for preachers or staff members or deacons or Sunday school teachers. This is for everybody. We're all disciples, and we all have a mission field. Your address, your home is your first mission field. And for some of you, that is quite the mission field, huh? Your neighborhood, your workplace, your community, your extended family, that is your mission field. That is the area of responsibility that God has given you. We're all disciples, we're all ministers, and we're all missionaries. And those who assist us will be blessed. And we will be blessed and rewarded when we help each other. Amen? So let's dive back in. I felt like I needed to give you a lot of background. Let's start in verse 40. Look why people who help you in your mission with Christ are blessed. He gives us the reason. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. All that is saying is that Jesus lives in his disciples. Jesus lives in you and me. God lives in you and me. The Holy Spirit lives in you and me. And so, when we give aid to one of God's servants, we are not just serving that person, but we are serving the Jesus and the God and the Holy Spirit in that person. Does that make sense? Let's look at it again. Whoever receives you receives me. This is Jesus talking. Whoever receives you, disciple, receives me, Jesus. And whoever receives me, Jesus, receives him who sent me. Who's that? Who sent Jesus? It's God, right? God the Father did. So whenever you receive and aid, offer hospitality to a disciple of Jesus, and that's all of us, you are doing it to Him. It's not just that person. You may not even really like that person. You may have a personality clash with that person. Doesn't matter. If you offer hospitality to someone who's serving Jesus, you are offering hospitality to Jesus and God at the same time. Doesn't that put a spin on it? There's another passage that talks about entertaining angels, that there have been people who have offered hospitality to God's people, and it turned out that they were not just ministers of God, but they were actually angels. And we forget, but when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. And it's totally appropriate to say that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God, lives inside each and every one of us. When you aid another Christian, you are extending the same courtesy to Jesus and God. So, what's a good reason to extend hospitality to your fellow Christian? Well, you're serving Jesus and God at the same time, aren't you? I can tell y'all are deep in thought. Look at verse 41. The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. So it talks about two different rewards. Some people have tried to differentiate between the prophet and the righteous person, but I'm not going to do that this morning. I want you to see, first of all, a prophet. Now, a prophet was not someone that was just running around predicting the end of the world. A prophet in the Old Testament, especially, was someone who was preaching to people, and the prophecy was to come true very soon. A prophet could rightly be called a preacher. Most of the prophets were preaching to the people who were going to experience whatever God was warning them about in the very near future. There are some aspects of the Old Testament that speak, most of it speaks to their day, but there is part of it that speaks to a later day. For example, zeal for your house, has consumed me. That was in our psalm today. Well, that was meant for that day, but it also had an element of prophecy for when Jesus would show his enthusiasm for God's house as a house of prayer 1,000 years later, right? And so we have a prophet or a righteous person. I don't want to get caught up in the differences between the two, but I want you to see that if these are God's workers, these are disciples, just like you and me, and like others that God has called. He says, if you receive one, a prophet, because he is a prophet, because he is a man or a woman of God, will receive a prophet's reward. You say, well, what's a prophet's reward, and do I really want one? Can you take it home with you? Do you put it on a shelf? Can you spend it? Do I really care or want a prophet's reward? Let me suggest to you that you do. You might. Here's some examples. The widow of Zarephath, in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 9 through 24, received Elijah. He was a great prophet in the Old Testament, and shared in the miraculous provision of flour and oil. She was out. She had nothing to cook with. And God made her flour and oil to keep replenishing itself, to help provide for her and for her son and for Elijah. And then later, her own son's resurrection, her son died, and Elijah brought him back to life by the power of God. It's an amazing story. I encourage you to read it. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 9 through 24. So the widow received Elijah as a prophet, and she was blessed. She didn't receive a check, but God provided for her and her son's needs. And when the son died, it was God's will to use Elijah to raise him. I'd say that is quite the reward, wouldn't you? That is quite the blessing. Now, I've said this before and I want to remind you again. The greatest rewards of God are not things. They're not things. They're not material things. The greatest rewards of God are spiritual blessings. The greatest rewards of God are spiritual favor, we might say. The greatest blessings of God are not material things, but they are spiritual blessings and breakthroughs in your life. In our world, we're looking for cars, bank accounts, and houses, and toys. It doesn't seem like God is really interested in those things. It seems that God is most interested in giving things that'll truly bless you, that will truly last. And those things are spiritual, and they are priceless. I can't speak for God in this, I don't know, but maybe because of your faithfulness, a relative or a friend gets saved. Maybe a teenager wakes up and stops being rebellious against God and against the world. Maybe there is a healing that you or someone else needs that God gives as a reward, as a blessing for your faithfulness. You can't put a price tag on those things, can you? And I can't even figure out how that fits in theology in my mind. But God says there are rewards and that there are blessings. And we should want to serve God and we should want to receive anything that God would have for us. It is better to be blessed and rewarded than not, whatever it may be. And some might be discouraged. Well, I really wanted a new house. I really wanted two kids and a dog. Maybe they don't get that. But maybe they have a long-term marriage. Those kinds of blessings are valuable and priceless. Another one was the Shunammite couple. Somebody's going to go to my office and get my notes. Another one is the Shunammite couple in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 37. This Shunammite couple built a room for Elisha and received a son and eventually the restoration of some property. There was a blessing. There was some favor. There was a reward because they had aided God's disciple. God blessed them. Obadiah, he hid 100 prophets in 1 Kings 18, verses 3 through 16. And God preserved him when Ahab's regime fell. So he got to live. He hid these prophets, and God allowed him to survive an evil king's reign. And so these are just some Old Testament examples of how people have aided God's people and been blessed and have been rewarded. So there it says, look again, the one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. I don't know how it works, and I don't know what it looks like, but Jesus promised that those who support and aid his disciples, that they will receive some sort of reward. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being blessed of God, having the favor of God, being rewarded by God. There is nothing wrong with that. We should help each other just because it's the right thing to do. And we're brothers and sisters in Christ. But we also should know that what we do to aid our fellow Christian is not unnoticed by God. And God rewards his people for being a blessing to others. And look at verse 42. I remember what I wrote in the notes here. Even notices small gestures and rewards them. Even small ones. So you may say, well, I can't really build a room for someone to be in my house. I just can't really do that. or I don't have a lot of means. You know, we have a hard enough time putting food on our own table. Jesus says, even a cup of cold water. That's the most basic need for a traveler, for a disciple. A cup of cold water. The most simple and most sustaining thing that you could give. Even a cup of cold water will not go unnoticed by God. And it says, look at verse 42 at the end. He will by no means lose his reward. God sees it all. Nothing misses his attention. A lot of things miss my attention. I'm noticing a lot of things right now. Some of you are going to snore if you keep those eyes closed too long. But nothing goes unnoticed with God. Whether it's our sin or whether it's our right actions toward others, nothing goes unnoticed. And God rewards his people. You say, well, I don't think it's very spiritual to think about rewards. It's in the Bible. It's okay to be blessed and rewarded and to have the favor of God. And by all means, we need it. We need it. We need it. We need it. So, in conclusion, be a disciple. You are a disciple. Make disciples. No, it can be a difficult journey. Do it anyway. Trust God to provide for you. Don't be afraid. God will provide people who will be a help to you, and God will bless them for their help. And so I want to encourage you at the end of this chapter to say this. Be the person who is active in ministry as a disciple. Amen? Be that person. You can and you are that person. But also, be the person who offers aid and hospitality to your fellow disciple as they carry out the mission of God. There is a blessing, a reward to be had. Amen? Let's go, Lord, in prayer.